to promote my new flower shop, I had one place print my business cards, another print my brochures, and a third, my signs. Now my roses aren't red, my violets aren't blue, my geraniums look dead, and I don't know what to do.
Staples can help your business stand out with signs, banners, and brochures that are a true reflection of your company. And now with Staples, spend $50 or more on print and marketing services and get $5 off your next in-store purchase.
Now my business is blossoming and I'm spending less green.
Exclusions apply. In-store only. Ends 6/23/18.
The secret to everything. You are about to hear secrets. Secrets about life, love, hidden mysteries, spirituality, frequency, energy healing, science, alternative health, money and abundance, and much, much more. Secrets that most others don't know, but are now here being revealed to you. Listen carefully and be open to learning the secret to everything. The views expressed on The Secret to Everything are not necessarily those of the host, co-host, or our guests. All medical information discussed is for informational purposes only and not intended to diagnose or prescribe for any disease or condition. Contact your medical doctor or qualified health practitioner if you have any further questions. By listening to this show, you have agreed to the terms and conditions outlined at drkimberlymcgeorge.com. And as always, we thank you for listening to the show.
Hi, this is Dr. Kimberly McGeorge, and before we get into the radio show for today, I just want to say that we will load the slides up into the slide player. So if you kind of follow around, we may not be exactly on cue, but you should be able to see pretty much what we were looking at and talking about as we go along. If you are interested in watching the video, you may go to my Kimberly McGeorge YouTube channel and it will be uploaded on there. I have also just begun a cryptozoology and paranormal channel under the Rebel Cryptozoologist and Paranormal Investigator, which of course is me. I will be trying to get to that this weekend and upload some really great discussions, as well as I will probably put this interview on that channel as well, or aspects of this interview on that channel. We will be interviewing people directly on that channel, so if you have any stories of the paranormal, if you have been an eyewitness to a UFO, an alien abduction, if you've been abducted, if you have questions about things that you have seen as a child, things that you have seen as an adult, if you are a cryptozoologist, if you are interested in Dogman, in all those weird creatures that are running around out there that everybody says doesn't exist, if you have knowledge of underground bases or experience in the military with secret programs, please contact me and we will make sure that your story gets heard if you'd like to. And if you need help figuring it out, we'll help you with that as well. Also, if you have any pictures or videos, be sure to let me know about that and bring that along. I've created a patron for this channel. As you guys know, this is super time consuming, so I'd appreciate any amount of donations that you feel like throwing my way there so we can get this information out far and wide. I love you guys as always. Thank you for listening on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening on iTunes. Thank you for watching and subscribing to my YouTube channels. It's very important you subscribe to Kimberly McGeorge and to my new channel. I promise you guys are going to get some great, great content. And as always, you can head on over to secrettoeverything.com. We're going to start uploading some really great free stuff and working some more on the website. It's been neglected because I've been so busy writing and preparing for some live events. As always, much love, much appreciation. You can get a hold of me by filling out the contact form on my website or contacting me at directly at support@kimberlymcgeorge.com or drkimste@gmail.com. So on to the show. Welcome your comments. I hope you enjoy.
So welcome everyone to another edition of The Secret to Everything, and you guys get the video version. We don't always do a video version, but we have some wonderful slides. Hopefully I can figure out how to get them up here in a second. I think I'll be okay, but you never know. So we will be talking to our guests in a few minutes, and it's a favorite subject of many of you. It's cryptozoology. I've never talked to him really on this level, so I don't know if we're going to go into dogma and stuff, but we'll certainly ask the dogma questions. We'll certainly ask the challenging questions and the interesting questions, but we will be introducing you to our guests. We also have our beautiful and amazing co-host, who's looking younger by the day, of course, because she takes Secret to Everything classes, I'm sure, Miss Karen Foley, and she said it's storming in Ohio right now, but say hi, Karen.
Hello, good to see you again tonight, Dr. Kimberly.
Thank you so much for being with us. And since Karen's younger, I'm going to leave her on the screen. She looks younger. She's a good face of Secret to Everything. But before we delve into all things, and I don't know how you refer to them, Daniel, some people get very offended when we call them Bigfoot. Some people get very offended when we call them Sasquatch. And some people insist we have to call them forest people. So whatever you call them, we'll be delving in.
You'll probably actually hear me refer to them as actually probably go back as both of them. Yeah.
So I wanted to really briefly talk about the energy right now, and everybody's been complaining about the energy, but I want to let everybody know we are in kind of an energy bubble right now, and that energy bubble is not necessarily positive. We just came through a really rocky planetary alignment. We're still kind of in the middle of it. Things will get better. Things will get lighter in about 5 to 7 days. So keep breathing, keep riding the wave, and you will come out the other end. I swear, Karen, everybody's been calling me everybody. My kids are freaking out. My clients are, I don't know about you, but everybody's freaking out, even about like everything and nothing, it seems like. Have you observed that?
Yes, and today I actually like made myself go outside and play. I went to the Ohio State Fair just to do something different and kind of get out of all of that.
That's smart. So there you've got it. From the mouth of Karen Foley, when you are stressed, when the energy bubble is bad, get out and go to the fair. Although, we won't say what fair you went to, Karen. So, anyway, I'm going to have you introduce yourself. Daniel, if that's okay, why don't you start out by telling us how the heck did you start this group? Why did you name it what you did? What was your first interest? Kind of walk us through your whole journey to get to where you are now.
All right. You guys hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay, great. Well, all right. Well, let's see. I know many other people. As far as social media goes, I haven't always been on social media. Several years ago when I actually got, involved with this, I didn't realize how many people actually were. I was pretty much solo. I was, independent by myself. Didn't have no affiliation with nobody. Again, for one thing, I had no clue that there was that many people involved. So I got on social media and made a few minor discoveries and kind of shocked me. I kind of took advantage of exploring social media later on. But let me back up a little bit here. And I think it's safe to say that my interest, what sparked my interest, I think a lot of people could associate and relate to is the famous 1967 Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin footage. And, I've seen that video footage so many times, it was the one time I was watching Bill Munns, he's a graphic artist in analysis. Watching him in the documentary that involved with him, something about that documentary and with the way Bill Munns was analyzing that footage, of the alleged female Sasquatch walking across the dry riverbed and down in Bluff Creek. Well, after watching that and listening to some of their points of views and how, they just could not find anything false about it. Even though there was a few claims that came about later on, there's no evidence or proof, you know, to point towards really saying anything that make that subject, you know, or that whole situation a hoax. And more evidence was actually pointing towards it being authentic. And that there really, I think that's where that spark turned into a flame. And I was like, man, I got to, you know, look into this. And, you know, I was like, this is good stuff. So, you know, I get involved. I start doing some, you know, research, you know, online, you know, see what's going on with the subject of Bigfoot, you know. So, you know, I started doing some digging. You know, I was like, you know what? At the time, I had so much, you know, energy and enthusiasm built up. I said, well, I'll look online later. I just want to get in the woods, you know. So I got out in the woods more. And I tell you what, it's something about learning and hearing about the Roger Patterson footage, you know, and then going out in the woods, you know, I wasn't just walking in the woods anymore. It seemed like everything opened up. You know, I was more alert to my surroundings, and I was looking on the ground more. I wanted to find tracks. That's one thing I kept my focus on was the ground. And then, you know, learning later on that, you know, hey, Sasquatch may be responsible for some of these tree structures and these different formations that people were talking about. So I started looking around and observing them, and you know, and I come across a lot of interesting things. However, you know, I had to, you know, watch myself, you know, because, you know, I was one of those few that, you know, they were quick to make assumptions and make claims that everything was Bigfoot. You know, I was being a newborn in this field, you know, back then I was, like I said, I was quick to assume or jump on something. And I realized that was wrong. I said, you know, I wanted to keep it in my own word. I wanted to keep it logical. I wanted to keep it real. I said, you know, not everything can be related to a Sasquatch because, you know, we can't forget about, you know, nature, weather, and other animals, and, you know, that live in the woods. So, but, you know, I still, you know, took my time to look things over and try to build up and find more evidence. And, you know, again, more and more that I observed in the field with my senses being more alert, more wide open, is when I started to come across a lot of different things. And so that's when I started doing my own documenting my findings and trying to put pieces together, trying to do comparisons. And then that's when I jumped back to social media. I started finding other people that were involved, very heavily involved, and finding, you know, there were so many different thoughts and theories that were flooding social media, and I couldn't believe it. It kind of overwhelmed me, and I was like, well, I did not dismiss any of them. I considered them. I kept them in the back of my mind. I took notes of them. And, you know, one of the things is, I want to see if there's any truth to any of these. You know, I'm not no expert by any way, shape, or form. However, you know, doing enough digging and doing enough research, both in and out of the field, I actually come to realize that, you know, some of these statements, some of these opinions actually have some truth behind them. You know, some on the other hand, I'm not so sure. you know, I've come a long way.
Let me stop you there for a second because...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is kind of out of order, but I have my pulse pretty much on the finger of most things cryptozoology. And I know a lot of people that are the movers and shakers, old school and new school, as well in the field. And there seems to be a huge debate right now, speaking of different philosophies, about Dr. Matthew Johnson. So I wanted to get, what's your take on Dr. Matt Johnson? Which end of the scale are you on as far as some of the things that he shares and teaches?
Well, in all honesty, I mean, I'll be totally honest. First of all, I've had very few minor chats and, you know, in the conversations with Dr. Matthew Johnson. You know, just not on anything of his related to his claims. So, you know, before I go on anything relating to his claims, I will say this: as far as Matt, as him as a person, I have nothing against him whatsoever. He seems like a great guy, a very nice, outgoing guy, and. But now, as far as jumping to his claims, I know I laugh about it, but, you know, it's just some of the things he has actually come forward with I think, you know, anybody that even believes in what I call, what a lot of people refer to as the woo, well, I think some of them even laughed at some of his claims, because I think they went a little too far with, you know, what they believe. But one of his claims, you know, talking about the portals and having beings coming out into the portals and this and that. Well, supposedly there was a couple others, and one of those individuals supposedly claimed they saw something, you know, that went there to, you know, investigate. Of course, no one came forward to share the actual information, not that I'm aware of. You know, and, you know, there's other claims where he said that Sasquatch has touched him in places where it cured his prostate. You know, I mean, not to be blunt, but those kind of things, like, you know, I don't know about that. I mean, of course, a lot of people believe that Sasquatch is not of his realm, you know. You know, that's, I guess that may be a whole different subject right there, but, so, I mean, I guess if I have to, you know, where I stand on that, I guess if I have to be honest, I don't believe in it. However, I mean, if there was something that was leaning towards evidence or something that supported that, you know, then I'll say, all right, I'll consider it, you know. But, you know, as far as portals go, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to mention, as far as portals go, I mean, according to science, like NASA, for example, they do not deny portals. They actually suggest and support that portals do exist, but of course not in the sense that, you know, what we hear on social media or on sci-fi. There is different portals, you know, magnetic fields and other different dimensions, you know, that do between Earth and the Sun and Earth and whatever, you know, and I mean, and these aren't portals that, you know, like, again, not referring to sci-fi where we could step through them and become into a different galaxy or a different realm, but, you know, for, you know, NASA does speak about portals, wormholes, you know, that's, you know, but as far as, like, again, you know, I mean, so, you know, portals are real, and, you know, according to the scientific field, so I'm not going to say portals are not. So, I mean, if there's science, there's scientific evidence that supports that, yeah, I mean, I'll definitely go with it. So.
Right. And, you know, Daniel, I like that you're open and that you're not definitively shutting the door on anything. You're just saying you haven't observed or experienced that, or your group at this time has not observed, you know, or experienced that. Do you want to go ahead and kind of go through the slideshow if I can get it up? Do you want to do that right now?
Well, if you want, I have no view of it right now. So I'm actually going through my phone. I got my headset in my phone because my laptop's buried right now.
I don't know if I'll have a view of it. Let me see if I can get it up.
Okay.
Let me check. Oh, yay. It looks like I will be able to. You never know. Okay, so we do have it here, and I've got your group, ECBRO, is your group.
All right.
Bigfoot, ape of another species. So I've got that. That's your first slide, right? Okay.
Yeah, if you want me to talk about that there, why I put that little picture together.
Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, if you pay attention into the picture, you know, you have in the background, you have the actual famous footage of the Roger Patterson Bigfoot from 1967. You know, I use that there for the setting. And then, of course, if you look under the lower right-hand corner, you have a gorilla. Now, you know, I'm not saying Bigfoot's a gorilla either. and, you know, that's one thing I've had people have issues or confusions with, some of the things I spoke about before, you know, as far as my comparison between Bigfoot and our known primates. I do a lot of comparisons between the two, especially mainly for behaviors and other similarities. And however, I want to clarify that I'm not making a statement that Bigfoot is one of our known primates, because that's definitely pretty obvious that he's not. well, you know, and again, this is just my opinion, and my opinion on what I believe is based off of observations and some of my research. Now, I know many others in the field have their own viewpoints. Some actually just believe, not to have anything to support their belief. But just from observations and a lot of, you know, like I said, a lot of behaviors that are observed and witnessed. A Sasquatch Bigfoot has very similarities to a known primate, all their common behaviors that they do. Now, you know, Bigfoot, you know, they're observed being bipedal a majority of the time when they're sighted. You know, of course, people say, well, just because, you know, they're hairy, just because they're hairy doesn't make them not a human. People refer to them as humans, you know, saying they're a type of people, you know. That's very possible. But, you know, I mean, the thing is, people deny that they're primates. Well, according to science, we're primates too. We're human primates. And then, of course, you know, a gorilla, chimpanzee, a bonobo, a biliate, so forth. You know, those are all non-human primates. And people don't realize that, okay, you got non-human primates and you got human primates. Now, I believe totally that they are a primate in between, somewhere along the line. They're something of their own species. You know, they have similarities from both, you know, and characteristics from both sides. You know, if we're judging from observations, you know, descriptions from other eyewitnesses, and, you know, their feet, yeah, their feet look very human. Not all of them. According to the tracks found out west and everything, some of their tracks look very primate-like. Some of them have deformities. Some of them are not always pretty looking, but people draw up and have pictures of online. You know, they're not always that perfect looking track. I know because I've come across a lot of tracks that they're not. They're far from perfect. I have been fortunate to come across some very, very real clean looking tracks. And that's very rare for me to come across something like that. You know, as much as I look and as much as I'm observing to find these tracks, I mean, I've been pretty fortunate to come across some of the evidence I have. But so, yeah, again, that comes down to me believing and stating that I believe Bigfoot is a primate, but a primate of their own, you know, of their own kind. So, or a species of their own kind, you know, along the primate field. So,
Daniel, do you live in what I would consider a habitation site? Do you live, you know, among these creatures or these people on your property or close by to you?
Yeah, it's close by. The location where I'm located at here, well, as far as my home, I'm in the Shenandoah Valley, which is here in Augusta County in the state of Virginia. And, of course, surrounding us, we have Blue Ridge Parkway, we have the Allegheny Mountains, right here in the Shenandoah Valley. I'm pretty much well centered here in the valley. And we're surrounded by, again, we're pretty much inassailable, as quoted by Mr. Frank Kennedy I once associated with. And yeah, it's one thing he always said, well, we live in a giant salad bowl. So, which, you know, we actually kind of do if you think about it. I mean, we're down in the center of a bowl, you know. And, you know, you got the Shenandoah National Park over on one side and over 130,000 acres of the George Washington National Forest that connect into other forests that run into West Virginia. Yeah, West Virginia over. Yeah,
okay. That's right. Okay. You convinced me. You live in a habitation area. I award you a habitation site.
Okay. I'm sorry if I can go on too long.
Walk us through this picture with you pointing at the a man, and there's these two hairy figures on the screen. Walk us through this picture.
All right. Wait, what is it now? I'll repeat that one more time.
Pointing. There's two hairy figures and a man, and you're pointing to the... Your hands against
Yeah, that in that picture there, I was actually pointing out that was part of a presentation at one of our seminars, one of our local seminars we had at the Waynesboro Public Library. I believe in that particular moment, it was actually at that point, it was the gentleman that was giving the seminar with me, Mr. Michael Cook out of Cook Cryptid Research out of Kentucky. He was actually doing his presentation, and there was something I actually jumped in to share. He allowed me to jump in and share and make a point. You know, I was actually, in that one particular picture right there, I was actually referring to reported descriptions, and I was actually going on talking about the comparison, you know, briefly between, you know, a human to a non-human, you know, and discussing the descriptions of a Sasquatch. In that one particular scene, that's what was going on in there.
Is this a white one, or what is the difference between these two figures?
No, actually, they're not really completely that different, really. Yeah, they're just I think it was more in that one there was a height comparison. Yeah, it's what that picture was actually used for, but I was actually using it for a description. So
got it. Okay, I'm gonna move on.
Yeah.
Oh wow, really, really big, nice, clear footprint in the mud.
Is that the one with the water in it?
Yeah, it has water in it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that was earlier last year, and that was one of my favorite ones because I found other ones very similar to that one, not far from there. That one that was found, that was actually around 19 inches, by the way. And
really? Wow.
Yeah, 19 inches, absolutely. And now where that was found at was actually a location that I've been gathering some information. People started sharing pictures of tracks. I had these young group of guys that were riding through my main research area, and at the time I was driving a Chevy Blazer, and they saw my decals, and they came by and they pulled out their phone and showed me some pictures, and yeah, these were like monster sized track. It was a trackway in the snow. I mean, you could see it so good, and they shared the location with me. I said, "You got to be kidding me!" So they. Apparently there's a lot of activity up there. And then I had an old-timer buddy of mine that I, used to work with me. Well, he's like, "Daniel, I know that area. I camped there. I've been camping there for years." And I said, "You got to take me there. I need to know this area." I said, "There's something going on up there." And then, he said, "All right." He said, "Well, eventually when we get time, we'll do it, blah, blah, blah." And, before I had a chance to get up there, a couple of weeks went by, and again, this is back when I worked with him. He came up to me and he said, "Daniel," he said, "something happened up there recently." I said, "What?" He said, "I was camping, and while I was camping, there was a young couple that were leaving out from being, they must have been camping, and they saw that I was, this is him telling the story. He said, they saw that I was camping, and they came over to me. I guess they felt like they had to warn me about what had happened to them, and, whatever their campsite was, apparently there was a hill on one side, and they had these very large stones, bigger than softballs, come flying into their camp."
Oh, wow.
"And they heard these screams." Well, after they left, he said he went over there to investigate, where they said they were. And he said he went up there, and he saw the hill. He worked his way up the hill. He got so far up till he found where stones were. He said, "You could see a layout of stones." And this was actually, keep in mind, there was actually a high tension that went through this forest here. And this was right on the, close to the border of West Virginia. And, he said he saw that there were some stones that were misplaced. And he, keep in mind, this guy's a skeptic, too. This guy is, a pretty objective skeptic. And he just shot, for shits and giggles, he grabbed one of the stones and he wanted to see how far he could throw one. Well, he threw it pretty hard, and he said, with all his might, he said, it didn't even reach about barely halfway towards where that couple was camping at. Well, not long of investigating the location, he told me he heard a scream himself. It wasn't that close, but it wasn't too far either. He said, "Daniel, the stretching of that scream," he said, his exact words were, "it sounded like a freaking Loki." I said, "What?" So, I was like, "All right." I made a point about 2 weeks later when I had time. I went by his house and showed up. I said, "Look, you need to take me there. I know it's not far from here where you live. You got to take me there." Well, he ended up packing himself up. He ended up going camping with me. So, that was the first time I got to visit that location. Then I've had reports from hunters claiming to see Bigfoot up there. So and these hunters were bear hunters. So what they saw, what they were claiming, these guys would know if it was a bear or not.
Absolutely.
So,
that's a great story. So this footprint is from that location?
Yes. Yep. down the bottom of a hollow there. So
I love that. And you actually found this. Is this your picture?
What's that? That picture is mine. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a great picture. That's like, I think that might be the most perfect print I've ever seen. That is a great print.
Yeah. I got a couple more where you can still see them pretty well. They're not wet like that one, but I got some other ones. I did when I was finding pictures for you guys. I think I found the most accessible ones right offhand.
Yeah, that's unmistakable. Okay, so the next one looks like a tree structure, which I mean I know what that means, but would you please explain about tree structures and about this picture?
I'm not sure, entirely sure. I can't remember what picture I shared with you guys. But
really, really nice cross, like three or four X's in a middle of a like double tree.
Okay. All right. Well, structures in general, let me say this before I try to explain my opinion on, in my belief on structures and different formations. One thing, for anyone listening, don't take my word for this. Do your own research, and do your digging. But, there's certain forms of structures, I believe, that have specific representation, we got anywhere from territorial dominance and, just simple markers, territorial markers, guidance for, maybe other, younger adolescents, juvies, and so forth. Now if we compare, some of my study where I compare research, and the behaviors from our known primates, a lot of people don't realize that, anywhere from certain tree breaks, tree breaks or something, those are all signs of dominance from a primate. And primates do some crazy things, some of them that even science today does not know why they do what they do. They're not sure, like rock throwing and rock piling up against trees. People are finding that here in the United States, in our own country. It baffles all of us, but it's cool to find stuff like that. Especially if we can rule out if a man, human did it. But, structures all vary. Not all structures fascinate me. The ones that fascinate me the most are teepee-type structures, trees that have been, seriously woven together that have not grown that way, that were actually forced and put together, forming, different X's and some of that twisting. If you go on my Facebook page right now, look at my cover photo on my Facebook, that was a very recent finding because I had something happen there very recently where I was investigating into this new area, where there has been a lot of sightings in the outside surrounding area. Well, I wanted to go check out this trail that leads up to a Jeep trail, and I was like, I gotta go check this out. Well, I went down and I had some pretty cool stuff there. But yeah, as far as structures go, they can all vary, especially if you come across X's. A lot of people believe X's are more or less saying don't trespass here. I believe that could have some truth to it. I believe X's that are, made by them are believed to be, in my opinion, a sign of that there's a dominant figure in this area. Be warned. Let it be known there's a dominant figure here. Again, I guess I can relate to the don't trespass, so, yeah. So,
okay. Oh, here's another one. This is more of a teepee one.
Okay.
So, about the teepee more ones, like this one looks like more of a actual tent type of structure.
Okay. It's the one I'm thinking about because I know there's quite a few I come across.
I'm sure.
Those are one of the few that blow my mind. They really do because, if you take the time to look at some of these. Some of you walk up, especially you got a skeptic or non-believer, they can walk up to it. Well, how do you know somebody else wasn't here playing around doing this? I said, but you got the figure. I mean, look where it's at, I mean, even if I was to take the time to go over there and do it, it would take me a little while, you know. But yeah, again, you can't rule out people doing it. You know, and I'll kind of explain why people do that. I don't know why, but you know, over in the George Washington National Forest, if you take the time to explore, you'll be surprised what you do come across. You know, I've had big, almost logs. I wouldn't quite call them logs, but they were very big and round, and they weren't they were put together, all supporting each other at the top. Then you got some structures that crisscross. They're gonna actually look like the formation of a actual teepee. And I mean, they could be anywhere from 3 to several more trees and sticks, you know, forming together. And a lot of these, I don't believe they are shelters or anything. I believe some of them could be possibly the start of a temporary shelter, like a almost like an ambush location, you know. Yeah, now, as far as ambush, though, you know, I have a different, you know, thing on ambush. I wouldn't quite say ambush, but, you know, but then again, it can be a simple hiding spot, you know, but I really can't make a clear statement on that, but, you know, there can be different, you know, right now, at this point, all different theories all count.
Yeah, I understand that.
Daniel, I have a question for
you. Go ahead.
When you come across any of these things and you come back, do you ever, like, leave a gifting of anything for them?
That's a good question. On some rare occasions, I actually have. You know, and I'll tell you, I try not to use food if all possible. And there's a couple good reasons for that. Well, unless there's a trail camera set up there and you actually catch exactly what it was, you know, you can't say a Sasquatch took your food, because especially depending on what you leave, there's so many other critters out there. I mean, scavengers that eat almost anything that's around. So, you know, and then the other thing is a lot of people like leaving peanut butter. Well, two things about peanut butter: bears love it, and bears jump on that in a heartbeat. The other thing is, we don't know if animals, wildlife, have certain allergies and reactions to some of our processed human food. So, you know, you got to consider you'd be harming wildlife, you know, instead of trying to play guessing games if a Sasquatch is taking it, you know? So, you know.
You're the first person I've heard say that. That's really, I think that's a really great point. I've never heard anybody say that before. Thank you for saying that about other being courteous, you know, not being so blind in your focus on, you know, figuring this being out, you know, that you harm other creatures. So thank you for saying that. I like that.
Oh, absolutely. Now, some things I like to play around, and I've had others try these things. They gave me the idea to try it. But sometimes I've actually tried to build my own structures, and I try to use what's available laying around on the ground, like different trees, sticks, and stuff, to build my own, like, teepee-type structures. And I'm going to be honest with you, you know, some of the ones I have tried to put together, you know, weren't really put together too well. I mean, here I am trying to take the time to do it, you know, make it look nice, you know, and then I try to put them in areas where I do have trail cameras, because I want to see if something is messing with it, something. You know, I've heard people say they put in a simple stick up against a tree, leaning it, and they returned about a week or two later, and they had several more joined by it, which I find those things very interesting. But, you know, I mean, I've never had no luck, you know, with anything happening to mine. One of the last teepees I tried to build, he got blown over, because, you know, again, it wasn't well, you know, format. It wasn't well grounded, you know. I mean, I thought they were good at the top, but they didn't stay up. We had some storms that came through there while I was gone, and all that, you know, that took care of that. So
you're hilarious, because you're not a Sasquatch, Daniel. No matter how much you want to be one, you are not a Sasquatch. You have to all remember that we're not Sasquatch.
They do call me Sasquatch at work, though.
Oh, I bet they do. I bet they do that. Absolutely. So our next picture has your beautiful copyright on it, and it has a bunch of foot casts. Tell us what a foot cast is and what this picture is.
Well, I do remember one I shared with you. Now, that one there, that's just one of that's one display of many that I've had throughout the years from my collections. And the one in that particular picture was actually from early, I want to say, I hope I'm not getting this mixed up, September of last year, wow. One of our outings. Yeah, that was from one of our outings. And, no, wait a minute, I have to back up. That was actually a year before that, 2015. So, yeah, 2 years ago. That was during one of our outings, but back in 2015. Those particular tracks were actually found around one of my main camp area. Those tracks, yeah, one of those big, large tracks were actually from down behind where I camp. One of the other ones were found across the forest road. Directly, if you make a line between the two large tracks I got in that picture, they actually almost make a straight line. And, you know, they're, you know, probably over, you know, maybe 500 yards, if that. But then there was another big track in that picture that was found on the opposite side of the forest road, but up the opposite direction. And then, of course, you get some smaller tracks in that photo. Those were around about 12, 13 inches. And, you know, of course, being, you know, a camp area, you think, okay, those are probably humans. Well, they weren't found in the camp area. They were found over on the other side of a briar thicket, you know, close to the river. And there was actually form, you know, I don't think I shared that picture with you, but there was actually a picture of those tracks before I cast it. I took a dry plaster, and this is one thing I used. If I see a trackway or if I see some tracks, what I do, I'll take dry plaster and sprinkle it in the track, the shape of the track. So I could, you know, if you take pictures of tracks and impressions, they're not going to show up too well on the camera. You know, right. Especially depending on the type of soil, people don't realize they don't do no justice. Because I get people sharing stuff with me all the time. I was like, no, I'm not really seeing it. I gotta visualize it, you know. Because, you know, I know me and all people understand that. Yeah, pictures don't do no justice when it comes to shell tracks and impression. Some of them, depending on the soil. The soil, it all plays a key role on, you know, is it clear, is it soft? I mean, what kind of debris you got on there, leaf litter, pine litter, whatever. But, some of them are pretty obvious, you know. They do work that area around my main general camp area. And, of course, you know, there's plenty of all the sources there for them, streams, rivers. They all run into the lake out there. You know, there's tons of other wildlife. You know, a lot of people believe that they eat deer, you know, for meat, you know, and I believe that. I believe that's a good possibility. I believe they're omnivores, you know, and another thing, I compare their diet to bears, and, you know, a lot of people are like, well, what do you mean? Well, bears, their diet is, you know, pretty much it. 80% vegetarian, 20% meat. So now on Sasquatch, I believe it's a little bit of, I believe it may be quite the opposite. You know, I believe their diet is, you know, consists more meat versus it does vegetarian. But I guess it depends on what's available to them too. So
sure.
But, yeah.
So this is I like your knife in this picture. You have an 8-inch cast. Looks like that's amazing. That's huge.
Oh yeah. That's my that knife right there, that Bowie knife in that picture, from end to end is 14 inches. So, and yeah, of course I use that as a scale. So,
that's amazing. These things are huge. Oh, there's one of the ones that's actually in the grass, looks like, or in the soil, pressed down, kind of.
Is it? Yeah, does it look like it's grass on one side and more soil on the other?
What do you think, Karen? It looks like grass and grass to me. Looks like all grass.
I'm not sure. I'm trying to. Oh, okay. Yeah, because I'm not sure which one that might be. Because there is one.
You can definitely see the indent. You can kind of see the toe. You can definitely see. It is a lot easier when you cast it, though, or when you, you know, pull it out of its natural environment, of course, to see it.
Right. I'm not sure if that's the one I'm thinking about. There is one track that's over there down by the lake where actually my father was with me, and actually me and my father found it together. Now, at that time, when I found it, I did not have a casting material. When I was showing pictures of it, people were like, did you cast it? I was like, no, I didn't have that with me. like, man, you got to go back and cast it. I said, all right. So I went to the store, got me some plaster, drove all the way back out there because it was about 45 minutes one way to go out there, you know. You know, so, I mean, I went back out there and, you know, I walked down there. You know, you can only, you know, it's only accessible by a foot. There is, you know, only people that are drive down there is the Forest Service, you know, people and whoever stocks the lake, you know. And so, you know, I'm down there. I get all the way down there and get my material together. And of course, I got people watch me, and then, you know, they're fishing. And I had this one old guy. What you doing? I was like, casting a track. Got a big track here. And he's like, oh, what kind is it? Well, it's not a bear, I can tell you that much. And of course, I said, it's a Bigfoot track. Guy said, oh, okay. And then went about his business. I guess he didn't want to get involved, get into that one.
I like this one that you have your tape pulled across and the Dr. Pepper bottle. By. It's absolutely like when you put a few normal things around it, like a bottle and your foot, you know, and then pull the tape, it really gives you the perspective. Like, these things are giants, some of them, aren't they? Like, they're really giant. Like, this is like, I don't know, it just hit me different than the other pictures.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, Bigfoot in general, now that picture, what exactly is it across? It's in that picture.
You're pulling the tape across it. Both your feet are in it, and it has Dr. Pepper. What's above it? What is that? Like a what is that, Karen? Do you know? What is it on?
Oh that's a cast I brought back to camp. I was actually at my campsite, and that was that track was timed up on a high ridge. That one ran, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was, I want to say it was about 16 inches, I think, in that picture, if I'm not mistaken.
That is. It's just crazy. Like, it's crazy. Huge.
Yeah.
Oh, here's another. Yeah. Oh, this is what you mean by how you sprinkle the stuff when it's on the ground, I think. Right, Karen? Mm-hmm. So that, and,
Picture you're looking at there, is it like four feet all together, like two sets?
Karen's the footprint expert. Just made it. No, it's like blue, no, it like looks, blue black, right?
Yeah. It looks like one black. Big one.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about there's one I sprinkled something in it. It looks like I got the white powder in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to... what's the soil type in the picture you're looking at? Is it in soil or is there leaves?
It doesn't look like clay. It looks more just like dirt and grass, Karen.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I can't picture what
track. That's all right. Here's another one. You have your knife by and you say it's 16 inches and it's just pressed into the dirt. That's kind of clayish dirt.
Oh, okay. That was probably where I found that track at. That was probably the one up on the upper ridge. Yeah, that was like 5 miles up beyond my camp. Yeah. So, yeah, I've had some other interesting things go on and happen up there. Because on that ridge, I've actually camped up on that ridge, which this whole past hunting season, and even until now, they got the gates closed where they usually open them up during the hunting season or different parts of the summer because people go riding up here, they camp. And again, during the hunting season, they do hunt. There's areas that branch off of there that go into other like old logging trails and stuff. People go and hunt, but I don't know. For some reason, they have these gates up with signs that say unsafe travel. So I don't know why they got them closed right now. So I mean, but it's very interesting because you know a buddy of mine who the skeptic, the old timer who's a skeptic, he's camped up there. And he said he shared something that happened to him one time while he was up there. And again, he's still a skeptic, though. But he's a Daniel, you know, and this is a guy who grew up in the woods, spending time in the mountains, and, you know, is well familiar with the sounds of all the animals that live in the woods. And he was, you know, he said he was up late, had trouble sleeping. And he said, yeah, there was bears. He said, I didn't see him, but you could hear him, you could tell. There were some bears roaming around on the outskirts of camp, playing around or doing something. He said, then something else, a little closer, came running by the camp. And he said, Daniel, it was heavy, and whatever ran through my camp, it was on 2 feet. I said, are you sure? He said, Daniel, I know what I'm talking about. You know, and I wasn't trying to insult his intelligence or, you know, he's, you know, he's a very wise guy. He had a lot of information with him. And so I said, but even though you didn't see it and you heard it was heavy and on 2 feet, because I've had my own kind of see here and stuff like that, but a lot closer, you know. But I said, you still don't believe all this? And you've had other experiences, or, you know, having something bang and hit your camper, and you went out and didn't see none. But, you know, again, he's had things happen to him. He's heard stories from events that took place many years ago that, you know, he's had people camping with him who actually had close, you know, face-to-face encounters with the Sasquatches. And, you know, they never talked about it back then because they were too scared about what they saw. And then up to recent years, you know, that information gets poured out of that person. And you know, and he doesn't display to people. You know, he needs to see for himself. You know, because, you know, what they say, seeing is believing. But with all the everything, you know, that goes on, you know, everything he experiences and everything that gets reported to him, you know, he's still that skeptic. And now, you know, he's one of those, I guess you could say he's one of those, I don't know what the right words are, but let's put it this way. He says, I believe there's something out there, but what is it, is what he questions himself about, you know. And, you know, so, I mean, I guess, you know, he has that belief, but yet he's still skeptic, you know, which I guess I can understand, you know.
We're programmed not to believe. Like, we're programmed from birth not to
believe.
Like, there are no monsters under the bed. There's nothing in the closet. Things don't walk through walls. Big, hairy people, men, apes, whatever they are in the woods don't exist, you know, like, we're programmed not to believe, so I think it takes a lot, you know, to overcome that programming. Daniel, have you ever had a face-to-face encounter do you have pictures of what you believe to be crypto creatures, and what is your belief about Dogman, too?
All right, as far as my encounters go, I've actually had a few. And one in particular, I was not alone. There was actually six of us all together. And that was during one of our annual ECBRO camping expeditions in the same area where I camp at all the time. Well, we were about a mile from the camp setup where we were at. We were coming from the lake. And, of course, make a long story short, we were spread out around the lake in pairs of two. A couple of us had parabolic microphones. Now, we were giving off vocalizations and listening. We had response calls. And by the time we regrouped and met up at the, you know, face of the lake, you know, it was already midnight. But we were taking our time, you know, we were walking at normal speed, talking in normal tone. We weren't trying to be quiet. And, you know, we're all in a line walking back and talking at the same time. But, you know, we're also, you know, we have headlamps on, we're keeping our eyes open. And, you know, on the one side of the forest road, you know, you see a couple deer, you know, here and there. And I was ahead of everybody, and when we got up to this one location, my headlamp caught reflection of something, and I'm staring at it. And of course, you know, keep in mind, in the national forest, some locations you have these little yellow signs tacked on a tree. And at first, I thought my reflection was catching something reflecting off of a tree. And then, until I got more focused, it wasn't one solid subject; it was a set of eyes. Now, I didn't know it was a set of eyes until it actually blinked at me. I was like, what the? And keep in mind, what I saw was kind of sitting low. And Tracy Arnold, one of my good friends and fellow researchers, he was right up behind me. I said, Tracy, we got eyeshine. We got eyeshine right up here. First thing I pointed out, I said, is that a mountain lion? Because there is mountain lions up there. And it's the first time that went through my head because my heart was starting to beat a little bit. And, But whatever that was ran back a little ways, and we all got up there. I was like, all right, guys, we got eyeshine. Something's over here. And now, keep in mind, at that particular time, we weren't aware that the ground from the edge of the road had dropped down. So the subject wasn't as small as we thought it was. But then when we all got over there, we're all looking over there, and it's still, even with our headlamp shining over there, it's still pretty dark. And well, whatever was over by the road, we caught that again. It was only about probably 30, 40 feet away from us. You know, maybe a little further, maybe. But whatever it was, you could see it was short, and it was kind of swaying side to side real fast. Like, what the heck is that? And, you know, not long after catching that observation, over to the right, you know, looking at it, just to the right of it, there was another set of eyes shining, about 6.5, almost 7 feet off the ground. And we're like, whoa. And we're starting to think that we might be seeing something here, what we're after. You know, we're just all these crazy thoughts are running through our head. We're kind of starting to get excited. And, you know, we were starting to make noises, you know. Yeah, there was actually a video recording of this, you know, this whole event. And, you know, some people think that, you know, some people claim that, well, you could see eye shine in the video. I personally did not see the eye shine in the video. I mean, we were seeing them in person as clear as day because they were bright, large, yellow, glowing eyes. And after seeing the two subjects, over to the right, there was some bushes. And first, I believe I was the first one to notice it. I pointed it out, and everyone else was starting to look at it. There was another subject behind the bushes, and it appeared that it may have been crouched down because you could see it slowly raising up. And when it stood up,
tell us what your channel is. Is that on your YouTube channel?
That one there, that video was, I wasn't the one that uploaded, but I did save it. It might be under my, if you go to my YouTube channel, it may be under my playlist or go under my favorites. It's, I think it's by Cliff Stanley, Cliff Stanley's Eyeshine video. So, okay. Yeah, you can check that out. Like I said, in the video, I didn't see the eyeshine in the video. You can see us all acting silly. We were trying to trigger a response from these subjects. And, yeah, I mean, it was very exciting. You know, you could hear some Tracy Arnold, his son was excited, you know.
It was very cool. Subjects, you cracked me up. You're so scientific. You call them subjects. That's
well,
I guess you don't know what they are, so you don't want to start screaming, "Dogman, Squatch," you know, whatever, aliens, right? So you call them
exactly. I mean, well, the thing is, you know, at this particular time, we had our suspicions of what we believe they were, but you know, we were, you know, didn't have that clear visual, you know. But you know, from the observations from that, especially from that one. But after it stood up, the eyeshine was bigger and taller. It was much higher than the other one. It was about 6.5 to 7 foot. And that one particular subject right there, we got to observe something interesting from that one. Because you can see where that one there was blinking its eyes. And it turned its head. And that's where you can see actually an outline, a silhouette shape of the head. It was big and round. It wasn't pointy. It was round. And it apparently it took a step or two, and then it turned back, and it was, like, facing us. And what we believe, I believe that they were, you know, I don't know if they were shocked that we caught them at that particular moment.
Right.
And, they, you know, it's like they were observing us. But this was roughly around, it lasted at least 5 minutes, a good 5 minutes. Then eventually they all turned off and disappeared further into the dark. And, you know, and we started making our way back towards camp, just all pumped up, all excited. We couldn't believe what we were observing. And, you know, by the time we got back to camp, we were trying to debunk it. We were trying to think, oh, could have been this guy. Come on, could have been this. You know, we were talking about, this and that. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, after I brought something also, me and Tracy Arnold kicked ourselves in the butt. We both had backpacks on. And then inside our backpacks, we had night vision. Not once did we think about pulling our night vision out. We were so caught up in that moment.
Situations like that too, where really high paranormal activity or high suspected crypto activity. And I've had my camera, and I've had my like recorder, and I've had like my ovulus and all sorts of, you know, high tech stuff. And what do? I just stand there, you know. I don't even think of getting all that stuff out. And so, you know, a lot of people say, "Why do you take a picture? Why do you just?" But until you come in the presence of some of these things and you come upon it unexpectedly, it's really easy to like judge us and say, oh, it couldn't have happened, or you would have taken a picture, or you would have taken a recording. That's not necessarily true, because some of this is very quick, very unexpected, very awe-inspiring, very scary. There's all these emotions and you don't know. It's kind of like you think you know what it would be like to be kidnapped, but I'm sure you don't know, you know? So it's kind of like that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, we were, it definitely had us excited, but kind of peed off at the same time, you know, but that we didn't, you know, we could have had some actual clear, you know, visuals of these, you know, subjects. But, you know, it all came down to this. The next day we went back to that very location, and I actually have that one particular spot marked, but where that happened. Well, we actually walked down that same road, and, you know, like I said, it was a good, I mean, that drop down was, you know, from the road, it sloped down. When you got level on the ground, it probably dropped down a good, I don't know, I'm going to say maybe, I'm guessing, seven, at least a good 6-7 feet down. And but when we got down there, we got into the location where, you know, where we estimated and believed they were. We did a height comparison. We kept a couple people on the road. And, you know, we were going off the tallest subjects that were there. And where those bushes are at, where they were standing, there was a couple trees there, small trees. And so we got in position, and then I'm 6 foot tall. And even raising my hand up, I mean, the eye shine, they were saying it was just barely
wow.
on the tips of my fingers. So there, I'm
wow.
6 foot, there goes another tree. So we estimated they had been at least 8 feet, the tallest one, 8 feet. So, yeah. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. You know, we came out of there. We didn't have no evidence to share, but we came out of there with a story to tell. So, yeah.
Well, so. You know what's funny? People are always like, you know, you can't prove that you've seen a ghost, or you can't prove that you've talked to a demon, or you can't prove. And in some cases, maybe we can, maybe we can't. But, and I think you'll agree with me, Daniel, it doesn't matter. You know what you saw. You know what you heard. You know what you felt. And the people with you, the same thing. And it actually, your world becomes very small, and, you, and the haters don't matter, the trolls don't matter, the skeptics don't matter, because I don't think you're doing it. What? Tell us why you're doing what you're doing, why you're devoting these hours, why you have this group. What is your purpose and your passion behind this?
Well, you know, it all started off with a curiosity, you know, but, you know, over the years it became, there was a passion, and that passion grew, and over the years it grew stronger. So having a passion to do this, you know, is a big part of it. And then, you know, it had me looking into, you know, it actually had, I found myself educating myself into other subjects to learn and so I could compare and do other research. You know, so it's kind of a thing where I want to learn for myself, you know, and I want to bring other people aware of things, you know, so it's kind of a passion to, you know, learn the truth. And bring awareness, you know, and you know it's
sure.
amazing how much you know that people are so unaware and unfamiliar with wildlife alone.
That's
and, you
true.
Know, and the one thing I tell people, you know, I said, well, you have, you know, there's people I come across. I said, you say you know these animals, or oh, there's, you know, or I don't have bears in my, you know, in my neck of the woods. People, you don't know that because you know bears are very elusive too. You know, even though people see them.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, so it's like I tell people, I say, you need to know and understand the animals that do exist before you go searching for the unknown, you know? So, I mean,
I like that. I've never heard that either. I think that's a great, that's a great point. You have no basis of weeding things out or comparison, or what does an eye shine from a fox look like versus the eye shine from a Sasquatch? Like you could be deluding yourself. You know, and really, you're really great at catching raccoons and foxes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't
right.
know what you're, you know, what you're doing. And the lovely Miss Karen Foley, we're going to give you an opportunity to ask a question. Then I'm going to finish with a final question. Then we're going to let you share whatever you want to about whatever you want and how people can find you and you know, what you'd like to promote. So, Karen.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I do have a burning question, Daniel. Have you ever smelled the Sasquatch? I hear a lot of people talk that they can smell a specific odor. So have you ever smelled that?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I've heard a lot of people share that information, you know, and a lot of times a smell is not always associated with close encounters and close sightings, but with my encounters, I've never smelled anything. However, I mean, I've been in the woods enough to where, you know, I'm familiar with a lot of known smells, whether it be from a tree, a rotten log, or the smell of certain flowers. You know, I have come across areas where, you know, you'd be walking through, you know, even on a trail, and all of a sudden certain smells hit you, you know. Sometimes I've come across the smells of strong, musky, urine-type smells, you know, and a lot of people are like, well, that could, you know, that could be Sasquatch. No, we don't know that. Because, you know, I tell you, a cat, you know, a cat's urine will really smell.
That's the truth.
A deer's urine, you know, hunters, we use deer urine to help attract, you know, the buck, you know, like during heat. So, you know, a deer's urine is very strong and has a musky smell. So, so I can't associate that with a Sasquatch because there's other animals. Bears will leave scents around, you know. You know, they have glands and stuff, you know, where they'll mark territories and, you know, deer will mark and rub, you know, leave their scent glands on different markings or stuff, the trees marking their territory, you know. But as far as anything musky, anything, you know, foul smelling, I can't recall ever smelling anything. But again, as far as my own encounter, no, I never smelled anything associated with them. Maybe one day I will, you know, I'm not saying it won't, I won't come across that, and I don't discredit anybody who claims to have had any kind of foul smell out in the woods, you know, because, you know, then again, it could be a dead animal. If you come across a foul smell, it might be a dead animal nearby that you're not seeing either. You know, people don't know, you know, they're not aware of that either. So,
all right, I have one more quick question for you, and then I'll let
absolutely.
You talked about, you know, hearing things and that you played some recordings. So can you give us an example of what you've heard? Can you, like, imitate a Sasquatch sound?
well, I tell you, some of the close vocalizations I have heard, which, you know, again, you're going to hear me compare again, because, and this is very common to most anyone who's been out in the field who observed different vocalizations. The most famous one would be a whoop, and some of them are long extended, some of them are short, and, you know, some of them are like a whoop. You know, just like that, you know, and so, you know, I've actually had those very up close, you know, all the camps in my same area, you know, because I don't always camp at the direct, you know, the same actual spot. The other camp spots are all within a quarter mile, you know, radius, you know, pretty much. I've had 9:30, 10 o'clock at night sitting around a campfire, and then you can hear, you know, it's got to be 20, 30 feet, you know, away. I mean, I've had whoop sound off right there at camp, you know. And those same camps, I've had tree knocks right at camp too, you know. And now that's another thing, tree knocks. Tree knocks are a very common behavior with Sasquatch. You know, I've had responses from my tree knocks during the daytime and, you know, of course, at nighttime. But a lot of times the tree knocks will be initiated on their own. So that's something that catches us off guard. We love hearing that, especially when it's close, because it tells us that it lets us know, well, they're in the area, they're close, you know. So, as far as other vocalizations, I've heard some, you know, long, extended, deep howls. In my research area, a lot of known common sounds, you know, you get to hear a lot of coyotes and owls. Let me share something with owls, and I've shared this with, you know, other people before, and especially those who come out camping with me, and they've actually starting to pick up on it and see what I'm talking about now. Well, you know, it's funny, and I thought this was a coincidence, but, you know, it's something I kind of ignored for a while until I started paying attention to it, because, you know, we get a lot of barred owls in the area, and they get to communicating, and you'll hear a barred owl sound off right nearby camp. And then you'll hear another one communicate back from it. Well, usually when those barred owls start communicating, usually following the sound of a barred owl that's when the other activity starts happening. You start getting tree knocks. You get other other weird vocalizations nearby. And movement, you get you hear the sounds of something walking through the bush, you know. And, you know, so I don't know. You know, a lot of people always associate crows. Well, if there's crows in the area, there's a squatching area. Well, the crows just tell on anything that's in the area. So it doesn't always necessarily mean a Sasquatch. But with Sasquatch, you know, behaviors and their vocals, you know, I've always had owls that started off first. And it's like, I don't know, are the owls actually trying to tell us something? I don't know. But from my observations, an owl, I get excited when I hear an owl, because that's when it almost every time it never fails. So I believe there's some kind of association that an owl is letting us know something. You know, like, hey, prepare, start listening, pay attention, there's something else around, you know? So I don't know. I know that's, yeah, it sounds kind of crazy, but from my observations, from my observations, it hasn't failed me yet. So, you know, I believe there's some truth to that, you know? So, but yeah, I love hearing owls.
Here's my final question, because anyone that knows me, I could talk paranormal crypto for like the next 12 hours with you, seriously. And they're like, oh, I didn't know this was like an overnight seminar. So we'll have you back again. And maybe Secret to Everything could even sponsor our own crypto thing, and we can talk and we can take some of our people out and get you some money and you can take us on a tour. So maybe we could talk about that, or we can go camping with you sometime. But
I'll tell you. Oh yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to introduce, we got an event we're planning for next year, and this is going to be our first annual ECBRO Virginia Bigfoot Conference. It's taking place June 30th and July 1st of next year. And then actually following this two-day event, we're actually going to have our week-long camping expedition.
Oh, wow. Aaron.
Yeah. All the website and link information, ticket information to the event, everything's online. I share it on my timeline on Facebook. We have if you go to my website, ecbro.wordpress.com, I got both blogs and pages on the website. I have to update the page on the website, but if you go to our Facebook page, so far our lineup of speakers are there. I'm announcing one speaker per month, so not all are. I already have several confirmed speakers, but not all of them are listed quite yet.
Is Dr. Kimberly McGeorge going to be speaking?
Well, she can if she wants to. Yes.
That's a good question. I'm giving you a hard time. I'm teasing you. We'll talk.
No. That'd be great to have you. That's part of why I brought that up.
I want to share my aura research. I have cool aura slides about the energy of these things. I want to share that. I want to share my aura research. That's totally different. I could be the woo. I can bring the ultimate woo. No one would be more woo than me.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to do this, would you agree to come out and join us out in the field as well when we're following that event?
Absolutely. And Karen's coming with me, right, Karen?
Where are you guys located? Out of Ohio? You're in North Carolina.
Karen's in Ohio. I'm outside of Winston-Salem. I'm really close to Pilot and Hanging Rock. We've got stuff crawling around here. You should actually come out here and go around with me. We've got so much crap out here, you wouldn't even believe it.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I know, you don't know Lee Woods, do you, by any chance?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, on Facebook, he used to go by Bobby Woods, but it's actually Lee Woods. He gets out in the field quite a bit, does a lot of camping, and wasn't that long ago, he found a very nice track. It was about 14 inches, but it was nice looking, very clear details. And the shape of it was, I want to say, and I hope I ain't saying this wrong. Don't quote me on this, but I believe it was I don't know if I'm going to say it right, but the Owerri National Forest.
Oh, yeah, Owerri National Forest, which is a little bit west of me, kind of between, I forget, is it before Asheville, after Asheville? Karen probably doesn't know, or maybe she does. Yeah, there's tons of stuff. Well, there's just tons of stuff everywhere. I swear, North Carolina is crawling with this stuff. It's a great place to...
Absolutely.
You know, it's basically the whole state is a habitation site, but we can talk about that another time. So, okay, here's my final question, and I want you to share everywhere we can find you, and thank you so much. You've been a wonderful guest. Okay, Sasquatch, here's the definitive question everyone asks me. Good or bad? Evil or good? What's your opinion?
Well, I'm gonna say he's good. I ain't gonna refer to him as the evil source. In my opinion, I believe he's flesh and blood. You know, I know other people have their own beliefs, and I usually don't say nothing to them. But when people throw it out there and push it out there, and especially when they ask me, I have to be honest about it. When they ask me about, well, do they believe it's this? I don't. You know, but I believe it's flesh and blood, and I believe like any other wild animal, they are a wild animal. However, I believe they are a very curious subject, especially through observations on my part, again, they're very curious, and I believe they watch us sometimes when we don't know they're watching us, we're the ones that made it their territory.
Absolutely. So in other words, what you're telling me, Daniel, is when I go out in the field with you, I'm going to have to show you and you're going to have to get on video as Sasquatch cloaking for you to believe it. Is that what you're telling me?
If you can prove to me a Sasquatch cloaks, then I believe it. Yes.
Okay, that's one of my new goals for 2017-2018. So,
All right.
Okay, tell us everywhere we can find you, please.
Okay, well, of course, you all know I'm on Facebook. My name, Daniel Benoit, Benoit. Also, my YouTube channel is ECBRO98. You can find me on Twitter as title as ECBRO, then my name. Let's see what else we got here. Of course, I'm on Google Plus, whatever. On occasion, I do a YouTube podcast show. Also, I have my own radio show, which I haven't been doing in a while. It's coming back soon, which is through blogtalkradio.com. It's called Squatch Zone Radio. You can go on there and check out our archive episodes on there. We've had several guests, and a lot of times we get on there just through open discussions on various topics and stuff. What else we got? Well, we have our main ECBRO Facebook group on Facebook. We have our like page, so feel free to give us a like on Facebook. And then also our Facebook page for the ECBRO First Annual Virginia Bigfoot Conference. Definitely give our page a like and share that if you guys like. And all the information with our speakers, our vendor information, and then we have our ticket website on there. All the details are in that. I got enough in there for now. I will be updating that with other details soon. Because right now we are actually working on seeking sponsors. We have several confirmed guest speakers right now. Because right now we have Mr. Tracy Arnold, Baltimore Galvan Jr., which is a Native American from out of Texas.
Nice.
American cryptozoologist and author Ken Gearhard. And M.K. Davis from Yahoo, Mississippi. Those are our announced and confirmed speakers thus far. So then, of course, September, we'll have a new speaker that we'll be announcing. So, and like I said, I'm announcing one speaker per month. So
That sounds like a lot of fun. So thank you for telling us about that, and we'll put that up on the website and Blog Talk and iTunes and all the places, YouTube, all the places Vimeo that this will be posted. So, well, thank you so much for sharing your evening with us. I know you're a busy, busy man, and we will be in touch soon. I really appreciate you. Thank you for the work that you're doing.
Absolutely. And thank you guys for having me on. This was an honor, and it's been a pleasure. And I really enjoyed, you guys were back, a couple of other radio shows I've been on in the past, you guys are great. So you top the list right now. So,
so you guys are awesome. Never mind. Okay, my friend, I'll be in touch. Take care. Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you guys again.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, so you've been listening. What'd you think about that, Ms. Karen?
Oh, I thought that he was very interesting. I'd like to see his look on his face when he sees a Sasquatch cloak, because I believe in that.
I know you do.
I'd love to see him be a believer in that.
Wouldn't that be fun to go out in the field, Karen?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I was a Girl Scout, so I'm a camper.
I'm a glamper. Does that count? Do they have luxury cabins in Sasquatch observation areas? I feel like they do because I live in a habitation site, so this is a little bit like a luxury cabin. You live in a habitation site. Your house is probably like a luxury cabin. But yeah, we love talking all things crypto and Sasquatch. So even though we have different views, maybe sometime, Karen, you and I will get our pictures together and do a thing like about your and my pictures and kind of what we think and what we observe at our homes in some of the places we've been. That'd be kind of fun. We'll talk more about that. But as always, this is sponsored by secrettoeverything.com. Right in the middle currently of, what are we in the middle of? Wrapping up the transformation, going into practitioner. If you want to get involved, check out the website. You know, it's easier just to Google me than do it by social media. We don't have Karen up yet, so you can try to stalk Karen, and I won't tell you her last name because she might get mad. So you can just take a little picture of her and put it in Google Images, and maybe you'll find her. So, yeah, you can try to find Karen. She's around. but thank you so much for co-hosting, Karen. Do you have anything you'd like to share? Are you doing anything you want people to know about?
I don't think so. I think that we covered a lot of information with Daniel tonight, and I'm looking forward to hear, you know, more Sasquatch stories. So,
yeah, I like that we covered, you know what, I didn't think I would, but I like the fact that he comes from the practical, like thinking about other animals, like more than other people do. Like he kind of comes from more a naturalist, like a woodsman view than like woo-woo or a, you know what I mean, a diehard paranormal person. And I kind of like some of the things he shared with us to be aware of, because all of us, and when I say all of us, you mean every single person in the who works in the paranormal or cryptozoology, have mistaken things for a ghost or for a spirit or for a Sasquatch or for a dogman that is a tree. And I don't mean a cloaked tree. I mean a tree. So we've all made those, you know, it's nice to eliminate so that we're that much more believable. Don't you think, Karen? It's important to eliminate, like he said, the known, so that the mysterious and unknown, then we can break that down. So I really thought he made some great points. I'm really excited that he's, you know, I mean, Virginia's close to me. Virginia's kind of close to you, Karen. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I like that he's pulling together that conference. I thought about doing it. But sometimes it's just better to join forces with people already doing it. So we'll talk more about that. We'll get some more of your favorite crypto people on. We'll get Miss Karen to share her stories and her pictures. And maybe I will, too. So thank you, those that listen live. Stacey, Audrey, Leon, Wayne, the people that were on live, maybe people that I didn't know that called in that I didn't see. And thank you all who will be watching this tape. We love you. We'll have some more wonderful, wonderful people. We're going to have Joanne Richards, her husband, I believe, don't kill me, Joanne, I believe he was in the Secret Space program. And she's going to be talking to us about some things near and dear to her heart. We may get her to briefly talk about that. I think we're going to be talking about alternative health, though, Karen, which is just fine with me. We're good with that. Who else do we have coming up? We've got Reverend Corby. I think we're going to talk about some kind of motivation type of thing. So we've got some great guests coming up. And you guys know you can find the backlog on iTunes, YouTube. Again, just Google it, Secret to Everything. Or we'll start putting Karen Foley's name in the notes. You can just Google Karen Foley, and all my shows will pop up. But have an amazing week. Have an amazing weekend. Hold the faith. Breathe. This too will pass. Love you guys. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Listening to The Secret to Everything. This is Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. Don't forget to check out www.secrettoeverything.com and Google me for all my social media. Hook up with me on LinkedIn, Twitter, 3 or 4 different Facebook accounts, and 2 YouTube channels. Lots of things to listen and do on the website. Have a great week.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Requires new line. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 480p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.